Good morning, guys. How's everybody doing this morning? You guys good? Awesome. Me too. Hey, that video kind of gets you amped up for Halloween a little bit, doesn't it? That's awesome. Hey, if I haven't gotten a chance to meet you, my name is Derek, and I'm actually the worship pastor here. Excited to be kicking off this new series, Strings. It's going to be a series on worship. And so, like I said, man, I'm so pumped to be able to kick off this series with you guys. One thing that we wanted you guys to understand, setting up this entire series of everything that we're going to be talking about, I want to make a statement real quick that may change some of your perceptions on what worship is. I know that this is a great way for me to be able to kick off this series with you guys because it gives me an opportunity to share just from my heart some of the things I believe that Jesus has been teaching me lately when it comes to worship about what worship is and what it isn't. But the statement I wanted to make as we continue with this entire series on worship is that this whole idea of worship and concept of worship is so much more extensive than what takes place here on a Sunday morning. I know every Sunday that we get together, we have a time of worship and singing. We had that this morning. It was awesome. It is a great aspect of worship, but it's such a small aspect of worship. What we want to cover in this entire series goes much deeper than what we do on a Sunday morning. In fact, I would say that even what we do on a Sunday morning is an overflow of how we worship the rest of the week. And so that's what we're going to be covering in this series. Actually, today what we're going to be talking about is the fact that we all worship something, and we want to help you guys discover in this place what that is. And so we're going to have a lot of fun kicking off this series. Before we do that, I actually wanted to set up this message by playing a game with you guys. You guys up for playing a game? I'm a big game person. I love games. And so today we are going to play, in order to set up what I'm going to be talking about today, we're going to play one of my favorite all-time road trip games. It's a game called Would You Rather? And some of you guys are going to be familiar with this game. You're going to know this game is awesome. For those of you who aren't familiar with it, I'm going to explain how it works because we're going to play it together to set up the message. Actually, my wife and I went on a road trip here recently with a few of our friends, and we literally played this game for like 4 hours. It's that great. So here's what we're going to do. Here's the way the game works. I'm going to give you a scenario, and in this scenario is going to have two options. You're going to have option A, and you're going to have option B. And all that you have to do in this game is, in your mind, you've got to decide between those two options which one of those options you would rather have be true for you. And we'll do a raise of hands. So for example, I might say something like, would you rather vacation at the beach or would you rather vacation in the mountains? So snowboarding, skiing. And then you guys would think about it for a second, and then we'd do show of hands for option A and then show of hands for option B. Okay, some of you guys are ready to play this game right now. We're going to get into it. But here's the one very important thing that you have to understand about this game. There is one rule and only one rule to this entire game. It's very important. Here's what it is. I would go so far as to say this is a law of this game that we have to abide by. And that rule or that law is that you cannot opt out of the question. All right? There's going to be different categories. Some questions are going to be harder than others. Okay, so the one rule is you cannot opt out of the question. You can't say, man, both of those options are really tough. I wouldn't do either one of those, so I'm going to opt out and pass, wait for the next question. You cannot do that. That's the one rule. Okay, that's what's going to make this game fun. And so when we participate, your hand's either going up for option A or option B. You guys ready to jump in? You guys ready for it? All right, awesome. Let's start with an easy one. Like I said, there's all kinds of categories to this game. Let's start off with kind of a happy category. Get things going here. All right, would you rather, question number one, would you rather, option A, take a guaranteed $100,000 right now in your pocket, no strings attached, okay, no pun intended, no questions asked, $100,000 right now if you take option A? Or would you rather, option B, take a 50-50 shot at $1 million? Okay, so what that means is, I'm flipping a coin. If you get it right, you're walking away a millionaire. If you get it wrong, you're walking away broke. Nothing. Okay? So think about that for a second, and we'll do show of hands. We'll see who's gambling this morning. All right, show of hands. Everybody for option A. Who's taking the guarantee? Oh, wow. Okay. Most people are taking the guaranteed money. Okay. All right. There's a lot you can do with $100,000. All right. Because of the one rule, it means that everybody else, let's see everybody who's gambling. Okay, there's some gamblers here. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to see how you guys would have made out in this decision, all right? I've actually got a quarter that I'm going to bring out. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to flip this quarter. And you guys right now, for those of you who decided you wanted to do option B, you think in your minds, heads or tails, all right? We're going to find out who's walking away broke, who's walking away with money. All right, I don't know what it is yet. So everybody who's going to say heads, nobody's taking heads, all right? Okay, so some people are taking heads. Some of you got your hands up and you chose option A. That's not fair. All right, so let's go heads up or hands up for tails. Okay, everybody, hands up for tails. All right, here we go. For those of you who said tails, you guys are walking away broke. All right, you get nothing. Congratulations to you guys who picked heads. You're now $1 million richer. And for everybody else who chose the $100,000, that was also a smart choice. All right, awesome. Participation was great. Let's keep it up. One rule, we're going to move on to the next question. Question number two, this is a good one. I like this one. All right, would you rather, option A, smell fart every time that you inhale? So every time you breathe in, you are smelling someone else's fart smell. Okay, that's option A. Not a great option. We're going to see what option B is. Would you rather that? Or option B, would you rather smell like fart to everyone else around you if it means that you can breathe normal? Okay, so we've got either the pain that you are going to endure, smelling fart, or the pain of what everybody else is going to think about you if you choose option B. Okay, here's what's happening. Show of hands. Don't forget the rule. Nobody's opting out of this one. Don't forget the rule. Show of hands, option A. Who would rather smell the fart themselves? Okay. Man, look at your neighbor, and if their hand is up, that means that you are going to be, whew. All right, here we go. Option B. Who would rather smell like fart to everyone else? Oh, man. Guys, that's right. One of the reasons I love this game is because it tells you so much about a person, right? Either you're afraid of what people are going to think about you, or you would just rather endure the pain yourself. It's awesome. I love this game. Let's go. Next question. That was a fun one. All right. Question number three. We're going to hit a fear-based question, all right? This is going to play on some of your fears. Option A, would you rather be stuck in a coffin? Some of you right there, that's enough for you to say, I'm going to take option B because I'm claustrophobic. But it gets worse. Would you rather be stuck in a coffin filled with palmetto bugs? Stop right there. If you do not know what a palmetto bug is, this right here is a palmetto bug, okay? It's essentially the biggest cockroach you've ever seen. It hisses, it growls, it flies, it probably stinks. And you're in a coffin filled with those things. Not one or two, but filled for 30 minutes, okay? This is option A. That's not a great option either. Or, here's the other option. Option B is you are going to eat one live tarantula. And I'm not talking about the little furry ones that some people, for whatever reason, keep in an aquarium in the room. I'm talking about this guy right here, okay? This is what you're eating, and this to me constitutes eating a live tarantula, okay? This whole guy is going in your mouth. You can't chop off his head and eat his body later. Whole thing, as much as you can fit, in your mouth, chomping him up, swallowing him down. That's option B, okay? This one's a tough one. Don't forget the rule, okay? Option A, who's going in the coffin with the bugs? Whew, okay. There's a fear few of us. All right, hands down. Let's see. Option B. Who are all of the weirdos that are going to eat the spider? Wow. Man, that's not me, guys. I can't do spiders. Definitely don't do spiders in my mouth. Ain't happening for me. Okay, whew, we got to move on, guys. That was a nasty one. All right, one more question for you. We're going to shift tones again. Go back to a little bit of a happy category. Would you rather, last question of the day, would you rather have everything that you could possibly want in this world? So we're talking about your dream life, your dream house, your dream car, your dream family, parents. We're talking about your dream kids. Okay, that may be enough for somebody to say, I'm taking this option. I don't even need to hear the next one. All right, your dream kids, dream job, dream salary, basically your bucket list of goals you're checking off. Right now you can have it. That's option A. Or would you rather, option B, have Jesus, even if it means you don't get the other things? So here's the question. Would you rather have everything that you could possibly want in this life or have Jesus, even if it means you don't get the other things? And we're not going to do a show of hands on this one because I believe that this is the hardest question out of all of them to answer. Because I believe that the way in which you answer this question ultimately reveals what it is that you worship. The way you answer that question reveals what it is that you worship. And I believe that, like I said, we're talking today about the fact that everybody worships something. We're either going to choose what we worship, or we're going to worship something else by default. And so here's my goal for us today. My goal for us is to figure out today, honestly, what it is that we worship. Not ideally what we worship. It's easy to say, man, I'd worship Jesus. It's an altogether different thing to live that out from a week-to-week basis. And so, guys, this is the idea that I want to talk about today. I believe that we've got two options in this place this morning. It's either going to be Jesus, or we're going to worship something else. And so my goal for us today is for you to honestly be able to identify by the end of this message how you would answer that question honestly. And the way that we do that, the way that we identify what it is that we actually worship, is actually going to be our bottom line for today. If you don't get anything else out of today when it comes to worship, you have to understand this. What you're willing to work your life around is what you worship. What you're willing to work your life around is what you worship. You could say it a different way. I know I'm changing this back here. Let's go to the first slide. I would say, if I was to give a very simple definition of what I believe worship to be, I would say that worship is your highest priority. Worship equals your highest priority. And all that that means is that whatever the highest priority in your life is right now, that is what you worship. And that highest priority is going to determine how you live your life and ultimately what you work your life around. And so that's the goal for today. That's the bottom line for today. It's what we need to understand about worship. And we're going to jump into a story that's going to illustrate this idea of worship. It's a little bit of a lesser known story, so I need to give you some background as to what's happening. We're going to be coming out of a passage in Numbers chapter 32. And what's happening here up to this passage is there's a guy named Moses. Most of us would be familiar with Moses. If you're not, he's the guy that led the Israelites out of slavery, out of Egypt, and up to the Promised Land. And what the Promised Land is, it's just a land that God promised his people that they were going to live there. And so what happens is Moses takes them to the land, and what is required of them is they're going to have to go through the land and conquer the people who are living there. It's not as easy as just stepping in and settling, because there were already inhabitants of the land. So they were going to have to conquer the Promised Land before they could settle there. And what ends up happening is the Israelites get afraid. They see the size of the enemy in their land, and they don't step in to what God had for them. And as a result, God punishes them, makes them wander the desert, wander the wilderness for 40 years before he leads them back around to essentially the same place, the edge of the Promised Land, for the second time, round number two, second chance. And God's basically saying, all right, what you going to do now? Like, what are you going to do now? That's where we pick up the story. We're actually going to show you a map so that you can see what we're talking about. This is a map of the Jordan River. And in this story, the Israelites are camped out on the east side or the right side of the Jordan River. Everything to the left of the Jordan River represents the Promised Land, God's best for them. And so where we pick up the story, they're camped out. All they've got to do, cross the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And we're going to pick up this story in Numbers chapter 32, verse 1. It says this. The Reubenites and Gadites, those are just two out of the 12 tribes of Israel, who had very large herds and flocks, saw that the lands of Jazer and Gilead were suitable for livestock. So they came to Moses and Eleazar the priest and to the leaders of the community, and they said, the land the Lord subdued before the people of Israel is suitable for livestock, and, what a coincidence, your servants also have livestock. Verse 5, if we have found favor in your eyes, they said, let this land be given to your servants as our possession, and do not make us cross the Jordan. All right, here's what's happening here. There's a few things that we've got to understand. The first thing is we've got two out of the 12 tribes of Israel that the Bible says is very wealthy. We know they're wealthy because it talks about their herds, their flocks, which at the time was an indicator of wealth. So that's the first thing. Second thing that's happening is we've got these two tribes that see that the temporary land that they are in, remember we're on the east side of the Jordan, not the Promised Land, not the permanent land, but the temporary land that they're in is suitable for their wealth. Okay, it talks about their land being suitable for their cattle. That's the second thing that's happening. And so what happens is they go to Moses and they say, hey, Moses, we know that God's best for us is to enter the Promised Land. We know that he wants all of Israel to do that. We don't really want to do that. We're happy where we are. We would like to stay here and not cross the Jordan. Is that okay with you? Essentially what they are saying is we would rather have the land that's suitable for our possessions than the Promised Land. And guys, here's what's happening. The decision that they made to stay here was determined by the thing that they valued the most. Their highest priority at this time was their wealth, was their cattle. That determined, or you could say controlled, the decision that they made. And when it comes to our lives and when it comes to our worship, I believe the same is true. I said at the very beginning, we're either going to worship Jesus or we're going to worship something else. But regardless of which one of those things you choose, the truth about worship is we are all controlled by what we worship. We're either controlled by Jesus, what he has for us, what he says about us, or we're controlled by something else. And I thought I would illustrate this idea of control in kind of a creative, outside-the-box way. I went and did an experiment with my dog to see if I could control her behavior by using something that she valued the most. Should be fun. We'll tie it in at the end of this video. Why don't you guys check it out?
Hey guys, this is day one of an experiment I'm going to be doing with my dog. I want to teach her how to do something absolutely crazy. The goal of this experiment is for her to be able to go to the fridge, open it up, get a drink out of the fridge, and bring it to me as I sit in my chair. I have no idea what's going to happen. We only have a couple weeks to figure it out, so let's see what happens. Check this out. Lola, go to the fridge. Lola, hey. Hey, Lola, go to the fridge. Go to the fridge, Lola. Go to the fridge. Training. She's doing pretty well. I hope she gets it down in time. Check it out. Can't wait to see the end result. Let's see if we get there. Into this process right now. She's getting really close to being able to open up the fridge. Only a few steps left. You can see she's getting a little frustrated. She's ready to get back at it so she can get some more treats. Can't wait to see how this thing's gonna work out. Let's do this thing. Step here. She's just got one step left. We're going to put this in the fridge. She's going to go in after it, and hopefully she's going to get some treats as a reward. All right, let's do this. Stay. Cheers.
Guys, what'd you think? That was fun. We have a smart dog. We love our dog probably a lot more than we should. And she literally, you saw it in the video, will do anything for a treat. But here's the deal. As fun of an experiment as that was for me to do, and now I have a side benefit. This is awesome. I can just tell my dog to go to the fridge. As fun as that was, here's the deal. Here's the reason why I did this. I wanted to figure out if I could get her to do something absolutely crazy that she would not normally do on her own, that's outside of her comfort zone. I wanted to see if she would alter her behavior by using something that was her highest priority. You could make the argument that my dog worships food. Okay, there's two things that highly motivate my dog. It's food and squirrels, and you could probably say that those are synonymous to her, all right? Some of you guys saw the pictures I posted this past week. She loves her some squirrels and some food. But that's the deal. We saw it work in the video that she altered her behavior, her thought process, her actions based on what was her priority, her highest priority. And guys, this is us when it comes to worship. I don't believe that we look any different in God's eyes when it comes to worship as this experiment. We will alter our behaviors. We will alter our thought process. We will alter the way that we live our life based on our highest priority, based on what we worship. And so my question for you this morning is, what controls or what determines the decisions that you make? In your life, what controls the decisions that you make? You could say it this way: what are you willing to sacrifice your health for? I believe there's lots of different varieties of health. If we were just going down a list, let's talk about spiritual health. What are you willing to miss out on church for? What's the highest priority on a Sunday? What's higher than being in God's house? Or you could say it this way: what are you willing to sacrifice your quiet time for? When you have a decision to make, what are the filters that you go through in making that decision? If we talk about relational health, what are you willing to lose friends over? Or you could say it this way: what are you willing to let come in between you and your spouse? When there's a decision to be made, what's your highest priority? When you talk about emotional health, what are the things that you worry and stress out about and get so anxious over that your physical health deteriorates? What is it in your life that controls the decisions that you make? And I would even say, write it down. We're going to revisit this at the end, so write it down. If you know what it is right now, sometimes these things are recurring. Sometimes the priorities that we have in our life come up over and over again, and we see that happen. It controls the decisions that we make. And so we're going to look at what happens, because in this passage that we talked about, there's two tribes. The decision that they made was determined by what they valued the most. And we're going to see what happens as a result of this decision. Jumping back into the passage, what's going to happen here? Moses is going to answer their request. So remember, they said to Moses, hey, we'd rather stay here if that's all right with you. Moses is going to answer him. He says this in verse 6. Moses said to the Gadites and Reubenites, should your fellow Israelites go to war while you sit here? Why do you discourage the Israelites from crossing into the land that the Lord has given them? This is what your fathers did when I sent them to Canaan to look over the land. So here's what Moses is saying. He's saying, guys, I can't even believe you're asking this question. This is what happened the first time we were supposed to step into the promised land. And your fathers got afraid. They discouraged the rest of Israel from doing that. Why are you guys even here? So then they huddle up amongst themselves. They talk about it. They come back to Moses. And this is the response they give Moses in verse 16. Then they came to him and said, we would like to build pens here for our livestock and cities for our women and children. In other words, they're saying, hey, Moses, yeah, we understand what you're saying. We know what happened the first time. We know the consequences for that decision. But at the end of the day, we're still going to do this. We're still going to do what we want to do. And they say in verse 17, but here's what we'll do for you. We will arm ourselves for battle and go ahead of the Israelites until we have brought them to their place. We will not return to our homes until each of the Israelites has received their inheritance. We will not receive any inheritance with them on the other side of the Jordan because our inheritance has come to us on the east side. So guys, here's what's happening. They go to Moses. They say, all right, we understand this is God's best for us. We don't want that. We want to stay here, but here's what we'll do for you. They are essentially throwing Moses a bone right here. They're saying, we're going to do what we want to do, but Moses, here's what we'll do for you. We will arm ourselves for battle. We will cross the Jordan River with you. We will help you defeat the enemies in the promised land. And when you have taken possession of the promised land, then we're going to come back over here and we're going to settle in the land that they want to settle. We know it's not God's best for us, but this is what we're going to do. We're going to help you out to allow us to do this. And as I'm reading this story, I'm thinking, man, why would they do that? Why would they give up God's best for their life and choose to settle over here? And I think that when it comes to this passage, They are saying, hey, Moses, here's what we'll do for you. And I think we oftentimes will read this passage forgetting to put ourselves in the story, because I believe that many of us would make that same decision when it comes to worship. The reason I think that is because we often do it in our own personal worship. We'll have something that Jesus is leading us to do, something that Jesus is leading us to step into. Maybe sometimes it's something that Jesus is saying, hey, I need you to stop doing that. And we'll say, you know what? God, that's not the most comfortable for me, so I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to change my lifestyle, right? But God, here's what I'll do for you. I'll throw you a bone. Don't we do that? What about when it comes to tithing? We'll say, you know what? As a follower of Jesus, I know that he is calling me to tithe back to the local church. I know that he's calling me to give back 10% of what he's already given to me. But that's not comfortable for me to do. I'm not going to change my lifestyle. I'm not going to do what you're asking me to do. But God, how about I do this? How about I pay for the pastor's dinner? How about I send him and his wife out for dinner? I know October's Pastor's Appreciation Month, so we're going to send them out for dinner, and that's going to be my due. I'm not going to tithe. I'm not going to do what you're asking me to do. I'm not going to change my lifestyle, but God, I'll do this instead. Or maybe I'll give to charity. I'm a generous person. I'll give to charity. I'm not going to tithe. I'm not going to do what you're going to ask me to do. I'm not going to change my lifestyle. Or we'll say, maybe I'll wait and see what's left over at the end of the month, and then I'll tithe. I'm not going to change my lifestyle, but God, I'll do this. What about when it comes to serving? We'll say, as a follower of Jesus, I know he's calling me to serve. I know that the way that he builds the church is through the church. I know that he's calling me to get involved so that people can come and meet Jesus, but it's not the most convenient for me. I'm not going to change my lifestyle, but here's what I'll do instead. How about I help out every once in a while? Or better yet, what if I fill in for people when they're gone? Not going to change my lifestyle, but God will throw you a bone. And guys, here's the reality. When it comes to our worship, God isn't looking for our charity. He's looking for our obedience. Because at the end of the day, it's our obedience that determines whether we worship him or whether we worship something else. And today, I just want to talk about really quickly three things. I know it's taken me a while to get here to set this up, to set up what's going on in this story. We've had some fun, but I want to talk about three really quick things that happen when you choose to worship something other than Jesus. And guys, don't misunderstand what I'm saying here, because I'm not up here telling you that you have to worship Jesus. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you are going to have to worship something. It's either going to be Jesus or it's going to be something else, and you've got to make that decision. I just want to show you three things that happen in this passage and that happen in our lives when we choose to worship something other than Jesus. Number one, the first thing is this. It will cause you to settle for less than God's best. It will cause you to settle for less than God's best. When we see the promised land in this story, the promised land represents God's best for the Israelites. Okay, it was his intended best for them. And so as I read the story, I'm thinking, why in the world would they choose to settle here and give up God's best for them? Here is the reason that I think they did it. It may be reading in between the lines a little bit, but here's the reason I feel like they chose to settle. Number one, the land was a higher priority to them than God was. We've already talked about that. But the other thing is this. I believe the reason they chose the land that was good for their cattle is because this land was tangible. It was in front of them. They could see it. They could touch it. They could smell it. All right? It was very much tangible. And the Bible said it was good. It said it was suitable for their wealth, suitable for their cattle. It was good. So you've got something that's tangible here and is also good. What you have over here on the promised land is something very much intangible. All right? It's also good. God actually said it's better for you, but they can't see it. They don't know that it's good. They can't have it right in front of them. It's not tangible in their hands. And that's why I believe that they chose to settle over here. And when it comes to our personal worship, I believe oftentimes we will chase after the tangible things, hoping that it will bring us the intangible things. And what I mean by that, example, right here, we will often chase after money, hoping that it's going to bring us happiness, security, right? Both of those things are intangible. That's what we want. We don't really want the money. We want what the money is going to bring us. We're hoping for the intangible, but we go after the tangible things. And so another question that I had when reading this passage, if the promised land is equal to God's best for the Israelites, if it's intangible, what is God's best for us? If I'm reading that story, the question I have is, what is God's best for me that's intangible? And if I were to answer that question, if I were to boil it down into something very simple that I believe is pervasive across all situations, I would say perfect peace. God's best for you, God's best for me is perfect peace. It's intangible. You can't hold perfect peace, right? But we would all say that we want it. Perfect peace to me, it means hope in the midst of everything else in this world being hopeless, right? It's meaning or purpose when the rest of life seems meaningless. To me, hope and perfect peace is being anchored in something greater than myself, that when the storms of life hit, I know I'm going to be okay. I know Jesus has got my back. I know he's fighting battles for me. I know that he's in control. I don't have to be in control of my own life. I can rest. This is one of the songs that we sang today, Sinking Deep, resting in the presence of our God and letting him take control of everything that goes on around us. And to me, if I'm sitting in that situation, that's perfect peace for me. And that feels good. How many of you would like perfect peace in your life? And let me ask you this, what would it feel like right now if you had perfect peace in every aspect of your life? In your relationships, in your finances, in your family? What would how would perfect peace feel for you? It'd feel like the best, wouldn't it? When you say that that's probably God's best for us, is perfect peace. But oftentimes we will chase after peace by going after some of the tangible things to get it. And here's what I believe happens when we do that. When we chase after tangible things, hoping to get peace out of it, I believe that God gives us neither. But when we chase after the intangible, the perfect peace in Christ, I believe oftentimes, not every time, but oftentimes we end up getting both. We will get the perfect peace that results from being with Jesus, and then also sometimes we'll get things that result from having peace. And so in this story, what we see happen to these tribes, they say, we're going to settle here, we're going to give up the perfect peace of God. And I believe when we do that, it also leads us to number two. Second thing that's going to happen when we choose to worship something other than Jesus is it will cause you to be separated from God's presence. It will cause you to be separated from God's presence. We're going to look at a passage in Joshua. It's basically telling the same story, but what's happening in this passage is there's a heated discussion that's going on, very similar to the discussion and the feelings that would have happened when LeBron James leaves Cleveland and goes to Miami, right? There's a lot of people unhappy. There's a lot of bitterness that's happening. And we're jumping into this passage of a conversation that Israel is having with these two tribes, and it's heated. And they say this in Joshua 22, verse 25. It says, "The Lord has made the Jordan a boundary between us and you, you Reubenites and Gadites." And guys, this is such a short scripture, but don't miss what's happening here because this is exploding with content. I think as I was reading this, again, another question that I had is, as I was reading this passage, is why is this such a big deal? Why is it such a big deal that they chose to settle here? Yeah, they're missing out on God's best over here, but why is everybody making a big deal about it? It's their loss, just let them have it. Why is it a big deal? Then I stumbled across something that opened my eyes to the magnitude of this decision that they made. I'm going to share it with you guys because it's awesome. Here's the reason why settling on this side of the Jordan was such a big deal. It was because now you've got a physical boundary. Remember the map? The Jordan River now separates them from not only the rest of Israel, but the place that God's presence resided. Okay, in this time period, there was only one place that you could have access to the presence of God. It was in the temple. And now the temple's over here. These tribes are over here. There's a river that separates them from the temple, from the altar of burnt offerings where they would go and sacrifice to have their sins forgiven. They are now separated from the Levitical priesthood, which just means pastoral leadership in their lives. They're separated from the Ark of the Covenant. They're separated from all of God's presence and His glory, and they knew that when they made the decision. They're saying, we are giving up God's presence. We would rather have our cattle, our land, than the presence of God. And guys, I believe that this is one of the biggest reasons why we sometimes will not hear from God, why we'll feel distant from God, why we'll feel like maybe we're going through a desert experience or a valley experience, is because there is something in the way, something we have made a boundary. I thought it was interesting. You put that verse back up, 22 verse 25. It said the Lord had made the Jordan a boundary. That's not what happened, right? The reason the Jordan was a boundary is because these two tribes chose to settle here, making the Jordan a boundary. Don't we do that? Don't we make things oftentimes a boundary between us and access to closeness of the presence of God? That's what's happening here. And guys, here's the most important thing. They ultimately missed out on the one thing that was most valuable to Israel, the one thing that separated Israel from every other nation, the one thing that made them so successful was they had access to the presence of God. That was the most valuable thing that Israel had. And these guys over here are saying, we're going to give up that value for this value. And this is why this was such a big deal, guys, because they're not only deciding where they're going to settle, but they're deciding who they're going to follow. And so my question for you guys in this point is this. What's the boundary? What's the boundary for you in your life? Again, we talked about sometimes these are recurring boundaries. What are the things that keep coming up that separate you from access to the closeness of God? The Bible says there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, but oftentimes we will feel separated from the closeness of God. So my question to you is, what is that boundary? Because if we don't figure out what those things are, it's going to lead us to number three. And number three is this. it will eventually cause you to stop following Jesus. It will eventually cause you to stop following Jesus. We're going to have the band come up here. So there's going to be a little movement, but don't miss what's going on here, because this is the climax of the story. This is another reason why this was so important, because I believe that none of us set out to follow Jesus intending that one day we're going to not follow him, right? Nobody sets out to do that, but we see it happen. We see it happen over time. So I want to look at why it happened in this passage that these tribes stopped following Jesus, why that happens in our own lives. In Numbers chapter 32, verse 20, Moses is going to respond to them one more time. Remember, they said, I'm going to throw you a bone, Moses. We're going to do this. Well, Moses is going to respond to them right here. And Moses said to them, if you will do this, if you will arm yourselves before the Lord for battle, and if all of you who are armed cross the Jordan before the Lord until he has driven out his enemies before him, then when the land is subdued before the Lord, you may return and be free from your obligation to the Lord and to Israel. You may be free from your obligation to the Lord and to Israel. So here's what's happening. Moses gives them what they're asking for. Moses says, okay, you can do that. And ultimately what they are asking for is they're asking to be free from their obligation to the Lord. They didn't want to follow. They wanted to be free from his commands, instruction, leading. But guys, that also meant they were going to be free from his blessing. And guys, one of the most dangerous words in this entire passage for me is this word obligation. We see that they have an obligation mindset at the very beginning of the passage. One of the first things that we read was this in verse 5, Numbers 32, verse 5. If we have found favor in your eyes, they said, let this land be given to your servants as our possession, and do not make us cross the Jordan. Do not make us cross the Jordan. And guys, here's what blows my mind. To me, if I were to put myself in that story, the crossing of the Jordan should have been the most exciting, life-giving, fulfilling moment that these tribes, that all of Israel had experienced in their lifetime. Remember, you're talking about 40 years of wandering the desert. You're talking about 40 years of purposelessness. And now God's saying, let's go. It's time for you to step into what I have for you. And they're not excited about it. They see it as an obligation to say, hey, don't make us do that. Don't make us step into God's best. And the reason why that happened is somewhere along the line, they viewed following Jesus, following God, as an obligation for them. And guys, I believe when it comes to our worship, we have two options. We can either choose to worship Jesus out of opportunity that says, let's go, I'm going to follow him because what he has is greater than what I have, because of who he is greater than who I am. I'm going to follow him because I genuinely desire him above everything else. That's opportunity. Or we can say, I'm going to do what Jesus says out of obligation. And guys, I believe there's a huge difference between worshiping Jesus, following Jesus, and just doing what he says. I believe you can do what Jesus says without following him. But when that happens, when our worship becomes an obligation, it's no longer worship. I know at the beginning of the message, I gave you a very simple definition of what I felt worship was when I said that worship equals your highest priority. I want to leave you today with something that God says about worship, one of his definitions about worship. It says this in Luke 4:8. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And so what he's saying here, according to Jesus, one of the things that makes our worship acceptable before him is that he's the one thing, that he's the only thing that is our highest priority. He's the one thing, the only thing that we work the rest of our lives around.